Corey Taylor.
Hey. Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, dude?
What's going on?
You sound exactly like a rock star should sound at 9:03 in the morning Eastern time.
Yeah, but I'm in France. So it's like 3 in the afternoon.
Oh.
So what does that say about me, really?
Oh, so you don't have any excuse.
Look at that. Nice.
No, I had to see the doctor. They have a nasty, nasty sinus infection. So I'm sick as hell.
Oh, that's dude. What I'm hearing.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought that was like morning, so, and I don't like mornings.
Morning nose.
Sam.
Yeah.
Morning nose.
Yes. Oh, no, dude. Trust me. I wish I was that cool.
Oh.
No, I'm just sick as hell. Yeah.
Oh, so how does that affect what you're doing? Are you touring?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
We got a show tomorrow. I'd have a rock doc come and, kind of check me out. And he gave me some meds. And, hopefully in the next couple of days, it'll start to kind of knock it down. But, it's just what you do, Like, I don't have the benefit of taking mental health days,
Yeah.
Like, I got people that rely on me. I got people that, I rely on. And, sometimes you just got to duck your head and power through.
There you go.
Does there get to be a point, though, where you're sick and you'll make things worse? In other words, canceling one show would be easier than getting you really down on your back and then canceling 4 or 5?
I mean, I've definitely had to cancel shows in the past, but I take it all the way to the diametric impossibility that there was no way I could play a show. I mean, I've only ever canceled 4 shows,
Wow.
I mean, even when I had my spinal surgery, I'm a psycho and I just postponed.
Wait a minute. I've seen a lot of Slipknot. I've seen a lot of Slipknot videos. I wouldn't call you a psycho.
Never.
No. I'm gentle as a lamb, really.
Did spinal surgery, you still performed?
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't put it off. It was the massive Manson tour that we did with.
Oh
Slipknot.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and we just postponed it by 2 weeks, and then I just couldn't headbang. I had to wear a neck brace to remind me not to do that. And we got through it, but it was rough, dude. That was a rough time.
Did you head bumping instead?
That's.
But I tell you what, there were a couple times where the muscle memory kicked in, and I gave myself a little one, and I immediately regretted it. I was like, oh God, it hurt like a son of a bitch. But it's nothing reminds you to behave yourself like pain, right?
I mean,
Jesus,
you should have got strapped down to a gurney like Frankenstein and just like,
Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah, have the table go up when it's time for you to sing.
Just roll you out.
Yeah, but Draymond would have hit me up and been like, dude, we did that on our first tour.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
damn it.
Did that already.
Right.
That's right.
Fine.
Well, who did you like touring with the most? I know that's hard to answer, but is there a favorite tour that you've had?
Oh, man. I mean, it's a great question. I mean, I've been pretty blessed to have some great tours with great people, everybody. Obviously, I'm really close with the guys in Lamb of God. We actually just did a handful of shows with Disturbed over here. It's been
what a great bill that is. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it was great. It was us, Disturbed, and I Prevail. And the kids really loved it, So going back, I think one of my favorite tours that we ever did was we were direct support for Metallica back on Volume 3. And we were playing these massive sheds in Europe. And it was probably some of the most fun I've ever had because I got to watch Metallica every night. And I am such a fanboy that every time I'd hear them play a different song, I'd go sprinting out to the stadium. And I would just stand there with all of the fans and watch them play. Like I was a psychopath.
That's awesome.
That is nuts. Like, what year did you join Slipknot? Was it...
I joined in 97.
97.
Yeah, okay.
And then 99, you guys are doing Ozfest.
Right.
Is that like a pinch? Like, are you... it happened really fast for you, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I joined in 97. We really started kind of putting the pieces together because in that year, we got Sid as well. And then the replacement percussionist that we had left. So we got Fane right around that time. And we went into the studio. We got signed in 98. And went in, recorded the album. One of our original guitar players, Josh Brainerd, ended up leaving for irreconcilable differences. And that's when we got Jim. So by the time we were finishing that album, we had the core nine, original nine by that time. So, but yeah, I mean, it was a, it really went from a walk to a sprint in 97. I mean, everything really, really started to take off.
I mean, you open your eyes and then there you are on Ozzfest.
Yep.
You know, playing with biggest bands in the world.
My, the job I was at refused to let me quit because they were like, you'll be back. Yeah, I was like, oh, well.
What were you doing?
Dude, yeah. I was working at a porn shop.
Oh.
Huh.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you can be back as a customer. Right.
Save my spot.
As a customer, maybe.
Well, I tell you what, I worked there for about 3.5 years, and they offered me my own store as a manager.
Wow.
And I told them, I was like, no, dude, this is a way stop. Like, I'm not staying here. And they're like, oh, okay, buddy. And I was like, okay, wow, okay.
Yeah, you're like, I really enjoy the confidence. You know, some of the tour, you know.
Yeah.
You guys have a lot of confidence. And I think that you got to have that if you're going to dominate the world.
Yes. And you got to show that.
I'm guessing that people, you're like, hey, I'm going to be a rock star. Right. And they're like, nah, you're going to be back here. Why don't you just take one of our stories?
I mean, I tell you what it was. It wasn't even that we were going to be rock stars. We knew that getting signed was only the foot in the door. We knew that we were going to have to work. We knew that we were going to have to work harder and be crazier than everybody around us. We knew that we had to be better than everybody around us. We had no idea that this success was going to happen. If our whole goal was to be a band that sold maybe 250,000 albums, so then we could just tour and make a living. We had no idea that we kind of captured a part of the zeitgeist the way we did until we came back and we were like, wait, did you just say our album's platinum?
Right.
I mean, it threw us, dude. Because, I mean, we just ducked our head. And after a year and a half, we were like, wait a minute. The album blew up. I mean, we were as surprised as everybody else.
Cool. Corey Taylor is on. That says a lot. A lot of bands think, hey, man, we got to get signed. You were like, that's one step along the way of what we're going to do.
There's a plan, yes.
And, you know, when you see your videos and listen to your music, whether it's you with Stone Sour or solo or with Slipknot, you can hear that there's or see that there's an intense interest in every little part of every
detail,
nuance of every song. Right. There's a real, like, you guys are
refreshing,
like, into it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and that's been my approach since day one, whether it's with, obviously, with Slipknot, or, you know, going out with my CMFT band, or even writing, man. You know, when it comes to making albums, like when we were doing CMF2, the whole goal was to eclipse the first album. The whole goal was to go, okay, we're going to take this even further than we did. We're going to focus this. We're going to make this even better. We're going to make this even more intense. And we're just going to keep trucking this thing along, you know. But I don't know any other speed. You know, like, I just don't know any other way to do it except with the absolute best of my ability. And people who maybe half-ass stuff, I don't understand that. I do not get that mentality.
I see your videos, the Slipknot videos, and I say to myself, if I were a movie maker and I made something this good, just this video, I'd be like, this is the...
yeah, I did it.
How much...
I mean, I tell you what. I mean, we've got... That's where the secret weapon comes in with Clown. I mean, he's been our director since he took the reins away from the other directors. You know, he started directing right around the time we were doing Volume 3, and then really took over. He started co-directing with everybody when it came to All Hope Is Gone. And he has subsequently directed every video that we've done ever since.
Wow.
I mean, he's got such a great vision. He and I, every once in a while, will work on like storylines, you know, and kind of break down like what will happen in certain videos. But for the most part, man, I just let him go, you know, because he's just so visually incredible that, I mean, I can't say enough about him.
I have a feeling by the time you get to the Dome at Toyota Oakdale Theater in Wallingford on September 15th, you're going to need a much bigger space unless you want to play for, you know, a more intimate crowd. But I just feel like album is so good, it's just going to keep picking up steam and picking up more fans and picking up more interest.
That's what I love, though. I mean, we wanted to start it small. You know, like we wanted, I love playing like intimate theaters, and even these aren't like super intimate. Like I was ready to go into like 500 theaters, man, and really make it like punk rock and get in people's face and smell the sweat and BO and get real, you know.
But that's cool.
And then again, I had to go, I'm also going to be 50 this year. I don't know how uncomfortable I want to be. And it's like going, somebody here needs to take a shower as you're rock father, I'm telling you to go home right now and put on some deodorant.
So take care of yourself.
Super stoked, man. Like as long as it's crazy and as long as people are passionate, having a great time, man, that's what I love. You know, like the bigger shows, they have their charm and everything, but I love a close quarter show.
You're gonna love this Dome, then.
Yep.
Have you played the Dome?
Oh, I can't wait. I think so.
I think
we played it with Stone Sour a long time ago. So I'm really stoked.
How do you, you just mentioned, we're talking to Corey Taylor. You mentioned that you're going to be turning 50. What do you do to keep yourself in shape to be able to do these performances? Because it's an athletic event.
It is what you do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I thankfully my wife and I, we're very much on the same page. We work out, we exercise, we try to eat well, we try to eat healthy, but we're both big fans of food, so we tend to go off the rails sometimes.
What's your weakness?
My weakness is fried chicken, 100%.
Really?
Good fried chicken's amazing. Yep.
Oh, dude, for every birthday, my wife gets me an 8-piece from Popeyes.
Nice.
Nobody else is allowed to have any of Dad's chicken.
My bucket.
That's great.
You get your own damn bucket. You got the strips.
Yeah, that's right. That's you got your own awesome biscuits, all right? I'm over here with this gravy.
And I want dirty rice also.
Exactly.
It's excellent.
Well, that's cool that you're on the same, because it's tough if one's on, you know, some kind of a strict diet and exercise, and then the other one's like, I'm going to have a pizza and watch TV. Right?
No. I mean, we're both very supportive, man. I mean, obviously, you know, she has her her dance troupe, the Cherry Bombs. So she really – and she's had some injuries over the last couple of years, so she hasn't been able to perform as well. She actually just had the same spinal surgery that I had.
Oh.
So we both have – dueling scars, which is pretty cool, you know. And it's one of those things where – when you've been active your whole life and all of a sudden you start taking some real physical shots, it makes you, you know, it gives you a pause, you know. But at the same time, it's like, as long as the will can keep up with the strength of the flesh, I think, you know, as long as you can go out there and put on a show to the best of your ability and the crowd is into it and you're into it and people see that you're vibing hardcore, it doesn't matter if you're bouncing off the walls or setting each other on fire or you're just out there playing acoustic, man. You know, you just go for it with everything you got.
Yeah, you ever thought about writing a book about your life?
I've written a little bit about my life in the four books that I've released, but I haven't really thought about doing like a full-on autobiography, just because there's a lot of pain back there.
Yeah,
not really sure I want to
visit that
much
right now.
I got you. I've walked through it with my therapists and whatnot, and luckily music's helped me kind of, you know, really figure things out. But
well, you've helped a lot of other people with your music as well, with your charities.
Yep.
I mean, you're a real interesting dude. You've really done a lot of good things. Difficult situations.
You know, the Taylor Foundation's been able to raise a couple hundred thousand dollars for a lot of the organizations helping people with PTSD. So, you know, hopefully this is just the beginning. And I'm focusing on local groups and semi-national. because obviously the national groups don't need help from me, you know, but the boots on the ground, the locals, you know, those are the ones I'm trying to help, because they're the ones that, you know, maybe get lost in the shuffle because of the noise overhead. So if I can amplify their sound and their message, then, you know, I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing.
And with all of that, you still have room for Sharknado 4.
Yeah,
I can't believe your career.
Just all over the place, man.
That was I mean, that was the pinnacle, really. I mean,
that was a mic drop, walk away time.
where do you go after Sharknado 4?
Sharknado 5.
Yeah. Well, no, they didn't call me. It's probably because it was in Vegas, and that's where I live.
Oh, gotcha. Right.
Well, thank you so much for finding the time to talk to us. We're really excited about your show.
And feel better.
Friday, September 15th.
Yeah, man, I will. Yeah, I will, and I'll try to hit you guys up again before the.
Please do.
Get around there.
Hey, you're welcome to come in here and take this place over if you want, and we'll have some fried chicken for you.
Nice.
Oh.
We have Popeyes in the area.
I'll get out there. I'll be farting.
Exactly. Yeah, well, you know, that happens around here, too, anyway. So.
Yeah, but, exactly.
Like three times when you're stuck. Yeah.
For everyone listening, look up this album, CMF2. Wow.
Yeah.
Download it. Corey Taylor, thank you, brother. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. All right, take it easy.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.